morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football, getting ready for the weekend. OTAs are over. They're done. We'll be wrapping that up. Doesn't mean practice is over. Minicamp starts next week. Mandatory minicamp. It's actually something to look forward to, especially since some of the guys who have been, you know, OTAs are voluntary. You don't have to show up. And pretty much everybody from the Packers does, pretty much. The one guy who hasn't has been cornerback Charles Woodson. And in his, 14th year in the NFL, I think he kind of, you know, deserves he doesn't have to do it at that time. At 14 years, when you've been the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year, you've won a Super Bowl, you've earned the right not to attend the voluntary part. But everybody else has, pretty much. I mean, maybe there's been, you know, a missing here and there. I think Greg Jennings sat out voluntarily this past week, but he has been practicing, though. Anyway, getting back to Charles Woodson, it is interesting because he has to take part in the mandatory minicamp, and, you know, I don't think he has a problem with doing that. Be interesting to see where he lines up. Everybody's been waiting for that for quite a while, I think, whether to see this move to safety is actually going to happen or not. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, we talked about before, I think the one line of thinking is he's going to continue to play the slot in the nickel defense. I think he will. But as far as when the Packers are in the base 3-4, which they don't run a ton, but they do run it, you know, 25% of the time, a quarter of the time, maybe then he'll line up at safety. We'll see. We'll be watching for that this upcoming weekend or this upcoming week. But, you know, as for what's happening right now, you know, when we looked at the Packer calendar, the title of today's show, just because for lack of a better title, I named it Hitting the Links. And actually today there's two Packers-themed golf tournaments going on. One, the Greg Jennings Celebrity Golf Event taking place in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And, you know, it's... It's kind of interesting. The Greg Jennings, it's the fifth annual event, the Greg Jennings Celebrity Golf Event. It's always been held in Wisconsin for the first 4 years. And this is the first year it's heading to Michigan. Michigan is where Greg Jennings is from. He grew up there. He played college at Western Michigan. I think that's where it's being held. Kalamazoo Country Club, Kalamazoo, Michigan, right there on the western coast of Michigan. And anyway... Jamie Jors pointing out on the live blog, you're reading my mind, Jamie. This is what I wanted to get to. The Greg Jennings Golf Event, isn't that what started the SJ drama? Yes, it is. So last year, they have that whole big to-do about the charity auction that they gave away, Stacy Jensen, Greg Jennings' former marketing agent, giving away as part of this auction this trip that a fan was offered to. And you know, long story short, I think this is what has precipitated the move away from Wisconsin, which is unfortunate. And again, I am just, you know, speculating here, and I don't have any basis to back that up other than, you know, this whole drama over, you know, this bad publicity that came about because of this auction that was a woman paid thousands of dollars for, never ended up getting it, and now this marketing agent Stacy Jensen no longer representing any of the Packers players, or if she is, it's the number has been reduced. And it got a whole bunch of bad publicity in the local news, TV stations covering it, newspapers, you name it. Unfortunate situation that you know, Greg Jennings has kind of been tied to because it happened at his golf event last year. And it doesn't appear from any, you know, all appearances, nothing was his fault, really. In fact, he tried to rectify the situation by, like, offering this woman money or money back, I think, and she refused, the person who won the auction, and she refused to take money from Greg Jennings. She didn't want it from him, you know, which, you know, is all very nice on all sides for Greg Jennings to offer that and the woman who won the auction not to accept it. And you know, it went over pretty well as far as the you know, Greg Jennings goes, his public relations, things like that. You know, unfortunate event, and I, you know, I'm assuming that maybe played a part in the event moving away from Wisconsin. And you know, I bet Greg Jennings wouldn't really admit that. Not, you know, I'm sure he just wants to disassociate himself with that whole unfortunate event. But anyhow, it's regardless, looking at the positives here, it's a great event. It's for charity. It's for the Greg Jennings Foundation, which has initiatives in youth education. I think that's where a lot of the money raised goes. And, you know, thousands of dollars are, you know, raised at this event, probably tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands. So, you know, good charity effort here. And it's not the only one taking place this weekend. The other golf event taking place is the Vince Lombardi Golf Classic. I think it's in its 42nd year. I mean, this goes way back to the Lombardi era. And, you know, Vince Lombardi being the namesake. And it raises money for the Vince Lombardi Cancer Clinics in Wisconsin, of which there's several. It goes to cancer research. And they've literally raised, you know, hundreds of thousand dollars over the year, maybe even millions. Another great, great cause. And kind of the Packers players, the current Packers players, almost, you know, break up. Like a bunch go to Greg Jennings' event this weekend, and a bunch are golfing in the Vince Lombardi Golf Classic. That takes place in the Milwaukee area at, let's see, the North Hills Country Club in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. So two great events. If you're interested in just being a spectator, you can go to the Vince Lombardi Golf Classic as a spectator on Saturday. I'm not sure the exact hours, but you can look it up online for something like a donation for like $10. You can go be a spectator, get autographs. I think they ask that you limit your autographs to like a program they give away. But regardless, you know, if you're interested in seeing lots of older Packers players and current ones too, but great event. And good to see all, you know, the Packers are involved with this and the Packers players are involved with this, all for charity. So that's what's kind of going on today, on Friday, what is it, May 8th, or pardon me, June 8th. So that's what's going on today. But, you know, to get into a larger discussion here, you know, kind of the biggest event that happened regarding the Packers yesterday is actually about a former Packer, Aaron Kampman. Aaron Kampman was released by the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. And unfortunate. I mean, such a great guy and great player. I mean, if you're a Packer fan and have followed his career, I mean, he was absolutely fantastic. Pro Bowl player and a great community guy. Another guy who just supports a lot of causes and from everything you hear, just a great person. And it ended up being a poor free agent signing by the Jacksonville Jaguars. They gave him, you know, millions of dollars, tens of millions, I think, to come in there and help out their defense. And largely, Kampman has been ineffective. But because of injury, I mean, really, you know, it's just unfortunate that he suffered a rash of injuries and you know, I don't know if it's just him getting too old, his body's breaking down or whatever, but, you know, I'm sure the Jacksonville Jaguars fans were not happy with that signing, perhaps signing a guy past his prime, and it's unfortunate for Kampman and for the Jaguars, and it's, you know, too bad it had to happen that way. Kevin Lamb on the live blog said, being a Hawkeye fan and a Packer fan, Campman was one of my favorite players. No doubt about it. I mean, I think he was, you know, a lot of fans' favorite player. Just the combination of being a good guy and a good player got a lot of fans on his side. Leviticus 268 says, is this the end for Campy? I hope not. So Aaron Campman, he'll be subject to waivers. I'm not sure what the time period is. It's 1 day or 2 days. You know, any team could put a waiver claim on him and have to accept his salary, his contract as is. With his contract the way it is, how many millions of dollars he's being paid, I doubt that'll happen. But then after a day or two, whatever it is, he becomes just a street free agent, can sign with anybody he wants. And that's, you know, probably more than likely what's going to happen. I just can't see him being picked up on waivers at all. Maybe this is the end, though. I mean, maybe nobody else will want him. The Packers aren't going to want him. I mean, the Packers tried it once with him at outside linebacker. He just really doesn't fit the defense. I mean, he's a 4-3 defensive end. He's not really a 3-4 outside linebacker. Yeah, he could probably do it. You really... If the Packers really wanted him as like a reserve, I suppose they could, but I don't know why you would want that even at his age. Might he latch on somewhere out there with a 4-3 team? Maybe. But again, it's more due to injury than anything that's been ineffective. But I mean, maybe it was too much to expect him at that age to stay healthy, though. And that's kind of what I wanted to get into a little bit of a discussion here about aging players the Packers have getting rid of. Not getting rid of, that has such a negative connotation, released. But Ted Thompson, general manager Ted Thompson, always seems to know the proper time to get rid of players. And this is just kind of another example here with Aaron Campman, that they let him go at the right time. You know, they got his most effective years out of him before they let him go, let him be a free agent. And it happens in different ways. The Aaron Campman left as a free agent. Others have been released by the Packers. And it's usually, more than often, the ones who are released that the Packers have, you know, they seem to make the proper choice on. We're talking about guys like Al Harris. We're talking about guys like Mark Tauscher. Both those guys, just within the past 2 years, released by the Packers, and they seemingly know that they're at their end of their career. They're not really... they've had injury issues to begin with, and it's just not worth, you know, keeping them around at their age. And so, you know, Al Harris, you know, goes on and plays in the NFL after the Packers, but does not play well. I mean, he was just at the end of his career. What he played with the Rams there, I think he even played with the Miami Dolphins briefly, but I mean, just did nothing with either of those teams, or, you know, nothing great, at least. Mark Tauscher, they release him. He never signs with anybody. He's just at the end of his career. So that's where they're at there. And then who else we have here? Just right now, Chad Clifton. I mean, the Packers released Chad Clifton, and, you know, he's, of course, has injury issues. He's a free agent. He hasn't retired. Somebody can, sign Chad Clifton if they want to. I wanted to get talk about other players as well. And here we go. Leviticus 268 on our live blog brings up a comment here about Cullen Jenkins. I think we can agree he was wrong about Cullen. And it's sometimes hard to distinguish what the reason is when the Packers decide to let a player go. Cullen Jenkins was not released. He was just allowed to leave via free agency. And sometimes it's not even so much about age or as if they feel it'll be the player is done with. A lot of times it has to do with financials, as in, they can't afford players anymore. Now, Cullen Jenkins, though, you can make the argument that the Packers could have afforded him and should have brought him back. And I'm thinking, yeah, yes, they should have. He signed a contract with the Philadelphia Eagles, was very productive with them this past year, and the Packers could have used his services. And I really am surprised for the money the Eagles spent on Cullen Jenkins that the Packers wouldn't have matched a deal like they gave. I think they could have afforded that. But it's opened the door for other people. I mean, as of right now, the loss of Cullen Jenkins has allowed the Packers to draft Jarrell Worthy. But perhaps people would give Jarrell Worthy back if the pass rush wasn't so poor this past season. They still had Cullen Jenkins around. Maybe this past season could have ended in a Super Bowl victory instead of a loss in the first round of the playoffs, or the divisional round, the Packers' first game, even though they got to buy the first round, the wild card round. Leviticus 2:68 says Ted is wrong very often. No, he hasn't been. I mean, most of the choices Ted Thompson makes are correct. But help me out. I mean, if anybody else listening to the show here wants to comment on the live blog, what are other names Ted Thompson has gotten rid of? Whether it's free agency or just releasing players, can we kind of come up with a little bit of a list here? I mean, I've mentioned the guys who have just recently been released here: Al Harris, Mark Tauscher, Chad Clifton. We talked about Cullen Jenkins here. Who are some other guys that have been left go and then, gone on to do much with other teams? Or some of them have, I suppose maybe in the same boat as Cullen Jenkins, you can look at Nick Barnett too. Now, Nick Barnett was released, but he kind of had a productive season with the Buffalo Bills. And again, it could have been a situation where the Packers really didn't just want to pay what Nick Barnett was, what his salary was at. But, were the Packers better off without him as well, with Desmond Bishop and A.J. Hawk? They had that group there to begin with, so maybe it wasn't worth bringing Nick Barnett back. Here we go. Taryn for 12 comments: Ted may have been wrong in the short scheme, not the long term with Cullen. It's difficult choice. Difficult choices a general manager has to make. I mean, there were, last year, issues with many players that the Packers let go there. All at once, they kind of let go. What was it? It was Cullen Jenkins, or he leaves via free agency. Nick Barnett. Who else do we have here who left? Darren College. Brady Papinga they release. Justin Harrell they release. Mark Tauscher they release. I already mentioned him. But there was a lot of players there the Packers had to deal with, last offseason. Do we sign these guys or do we bring them back? And, taken all together, there was a lot of money tied up in all those players. So, it was putting together a puzzle. Which players are we going to keep around? Which players are we going to release? Things like that. I mean, we can go back to Ted Thompson's early years here about the first couple of years he was general manager, letting go Amon Green, Marco Rivera, those guys, the proper time to let them go as well. I mean, Amon Green joins the Houston Texans, wasn't it? And does very little there. Eventually comes back to Green Bay during the 2009 season, becomes Packers' all-time leading rusher. But Mark Rivera joins the Dallas Cowboys. Doesn't do a whole lot there. The Packers got the most productive years out of these guys, and Ted Thompson, you know, for the most part, has made the right decision. You know, for the most part, a couple mistakes here and there. You know, with Cullen Jenkins, perhaps, but for the most part, you know, doing a good job. And that's what you want from your general manager, obviously. And you know, he's done that. So, good little discussion on what Ted Thompson has done and some of these older players he's let go and seeming to be at the right time. Another topic I wanted to touch on today, if you check out our Packers Daily Links and if you actually scroll to the bottom of the screen, you can see I left, there's a link to it there. This morning's Packer Daily Links, in addition to the story on Aaron Kampman, the number two story there, would be a feature article on Devon House, second-year cornerback Devon House. It's a feature by Wes Hodkowitz of the Green Bay Press-Gazette, and presumably he interviewed him this past week during OTAs, and you know, it's just kind of feature on Devon House and where he stands now entering his second year in the NFL. Talks about his first season in which, you know, he was kind of behind the eight ball a little bit because he didn't really have an offseason program to learn, learn the Packers schemes. And you know, certainly, I mean, I think that's part of it. You know, another part of it just might that he had not been ready overall in terms of, you know, just not talented enough to see the NFL field, as you know, compared to some other rookies who were talented enough to do it. And I know injuries played a little bit of a part with Devon House too. But anyway, so the Packers spend, what was it, a fourth round draft choice on Devon House, you know, kind of a mid round draft choice, you know, not a first day guy, second day guy, but an early mid round pick. And people kind of still expect those guys to, for the most part, pan out. Maybe not to be Pro Bowlers, but they'd rather see fourth-round draft choices work than not work at all. And it's at the second year of his career, Devon House is at a crossroads. I mean, this is almost a make-or-break year for him. And, you know, last year the Packers, you know, even though he didn't really contribute all that much, in fact, I think he only played in two games all year, and when he did, it was mostly on special teams. So, you know, the Packers kept him around, though, kept him on the roster. It meant he would be around this year if they didn't cut him or anything like that. They didn't want to lose him, see him sign with another team. So they kept him around, stashed him all year on the 53, rarely active during games. But now he's at a position where there's a lot of competition going to be going on for roster spots. He's at a cornerback position that includes Charles Woodson, one of the best cornerbacks of all time, really. Tremont Williams, Sam Shields, Jarrett Bush, and rookie. They just traded up to spend a second rounder on Casey Hayward. So there's five competitors right there. And then, you know, a couple other down the roster, guys like Brandon Ross and a couple more undrafted free agents this year. That's a pretty loaded position. And I mean, basically, you're going to see three cornerbacks get a majority of the playing time. Three cornerbacks. I mean, you know, in the previous years, it's been Charles Woodson, Tremont Williams, and Sam Shields. Can Devon House crack that group of three? I mean, probably a fourth guy gets a little bit of playing time as kind of a dime back, maybe. But, you know, that's even the playing time is the fourth cornerback on the Packers, assuming everybody's healthy, does not really get all that much time. It's going to be difficult, really difficult for Devon House to crack that group of three, you know, to actually make an impact this year, see some playing time on defense, you know, and I'm talking about regular season playing time on the 53-man roster, not just preseason playing time. You know, I mean, can he hold off Casey Hayward? You know, Packers thought very highly of Casey Hayward, traded up into the second round to grab him. That's how highly they thought of him. So, I mean, Can Devon House hold a guy like that off? Maybe. He's got a year more experience than him. So, I mean, that's kind of working in favor of Devon House. But, you know, is he talented as a Casey Hayward? You know, the Packers go and sign Jared Bush this offseason as a free agent. He hits free agency. The Packers bring him back. Now everybody knows Jared Bush is mostly being brought back for his special teams work. But he is a guy who's played on defense. You know, he's a guy who saw, you know, a lot of playing time last year in the playoff game against the New York Giants on defense. You know, could that mean the Packers have plans for him? Yeah, I could see Jared Bush very easily being the dime back on the defense when the Packers do go to dime, even though they don't do it a whole lot. But, I mean, I can see that. And you know, I suppose if Charles Woodson were to make the move to safety, you know, that would open up more playing time for other guys, for other players, for guys to compete for jobs. But yeah, you know, I just, you know, forced to make a guess, I don't think Devon House makes the 53 this year. I think the Packers cut him. You know, that's my guess. It's what is it? It's June right now. There's still, you know, more than a month. It's a month and a half till training camp starts. Training camp's a month long. Devon House has a lot of time to change my mind. Everybody's mind, the coach's minds, most importantly. It's going to be his play during training camp and the preseason action where he really, you know, makes impressions. And that'll be the determination whether he sees, you know, more playing time or not. So, a lot of time left, but, you know, last year he did not show very much. He didn't show much at all, and there were reasons for it. He didn't have the off-season program. He was occasionally injured, nothing serious, but, you know, just forced him to miss some practice time, I think, late in training camp, things like that. But it's going to be tough for a guy like Devon House to make this team. So prove me wrong, Devon. I encourage all players to do that, to prove me wrong. I'm in your corner as a fan. I am in your corner. I'm just, you know, like I was saying, forced to guess, and nobody's forcing me but myself. But, you know, it's just for the sake of discussion here that we talk about these things. Jamie Jors says on our live blog, I cannot wait to see some of these battles play out. Training camp is going to be very interesting. No doubt about it. These battles for roster spots will just be very intense. Very intense. I mean, from not just Devon House here. I mean, we're talking, you know, pretty much all positions on defense. You know, the defense has to improve for the Packers this year. No doubt about it. So poor last year. No pass rush. Struggles in coverage from time to time. Mostly pass rush issues, though. It'd be interesting to see who wins these jobs, whether it's starting jobs or just, you know, the backup players on the roster, who's making the 53. I mean, these are the things you look forward to as a football fan. And training camp is the time it happens. But, you know, mini camp is a little bit more interesting, too. Mini camp next week. I think it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week. Mandatory, all players got to be there. Charles Woodson, going to see him a little bit, see where he's being used at. That'll kind of be one of the bigger storylines next week. And Seng will be keeping tabs on where Charles Woodson is playing, what his role is on the 2012 Packers team. So looking forward to that. But it's 9 o'clock, folks. Going to take off here. Have a great weekend. Hope you all have a happy weekend here. It's summer now with Memorial Day in the rearview mirror. I know maybe the calendar doesn't exactly say it's summer yet, but it's summer to me. So enjoy it, everyone. We'll see you on Monday. We'll be back. for another episode of Railbird Central. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirivu. I leave you today with a song called Nothing Too Fancy by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone.